Let us pray. Where across the crowded ways of life, where sound the cries of race and clan, above the noise of selfish strife, we hear your voice, O Son of Man. Amen. You may be seated. So good morning, St. Luke's. Good morning. Good morning on this complex Martin Luther King feast day and holiday weekend. These days, the hymn that I cited for the opening prayer has been a theme song running through my mind. The lyrics paint an image of the times in which we live. What do we do when we find ourselves anxious and confused? When the troubles of our city and the world rest heavily on our minds and hearts. This is where I find myself this weekend. What about you? As people of faith and people of the book, our lectionary texts are generous, despite my dismay. In short order, the biblical texts that we heard this morning remind us that the steadfast love and righteousness of God is from everlasting to everlasting, and that there is one Spirit, and that that one Spirit offers God's children varieties of gifts, and that the prophetic and transformative work to which we are called as God's children must live out loud in public. It is the faith work that we cannot keep to ourselves. And we heard the gospel this morning, John's gospel, where we understand the story in which Jesus performs his first miracle, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee. His miracle in the midst of his people that revealed his glory and caused them to believe. In last week's gospel, you will remember, we encountered a young adult Jesus being baptized in the Jordan River by his cousin. And in her sermon, Reverend Winnie asked us to consider what had happened for Jesus during those 18 years between when he had gotten out of his parents' sight and when we found him at the Jordan being baptized. What had he been doing? Had he traveled the world and collected wisdom from international places? Or had he just stayed at the temple and studied for another 18 years? Or maybe he remained at home, he was a carpenter's apprentice for Joseph? This week's gospel offers some possibility. In John's gospel, and it is the singular place where this story exists, we arrive with Jesus at a wedding party in Cana. Family and friends, from babies and toddlers to the most seasoned villagers, were there. There was lots of anticipation and excitement and preparation. It was the biggest thing happening in that village. And everybody showed up, especially Mary, Jesus' mother. So don't you just love a good party? And I will confess that I wrote that, but of course, I don't need to ask St. Luke's if you love a good party. I have been to St. Luke's Festival. I have been to Canuga. Yes, y'all love a good party. Let me say it like that. So a good party is where the food is tasty and the drinks are flowing and the music is fabulous. The company is warm and wonderful, and people are mingling and socializing. The DJ is pumping up the volume. The best dancers are out lighting up the dance floor. When the party is going like that, you don't want it to end. So you hear Michael Jackson's song in the back of your head saying, "Don't stop till you get enough." Right? Until, as our scripture says, the wine gave out. Now, can you imagine being the party host in that situation? When the wine runs out, you've been planning, you've been getting everything together, shopping and cooking, and then the wine runs out. What a social bomb. right? What a breach of etiquette. The wine gives out at the party and the whole party changes. The vibes stop flowing, the dance floor empties out, the tunes sound a little offbeat. When the wine gives out, it is a sober and sobering moment. It invites us to take a clear-eyed view of what is going on. So I want to propose to you that this is the moment that we are living in here in Atlanta, and particularly at St. Luke's Episcopal Church in and for the heart of Atlanta. On this Martin Luther King Sunday 2025, the wine has given out, and the party is on pause. In Atlanta, we take pride in being a birthplace of the civil rights movement and of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, not far from here. Here we live and move among giants. We ride by the Carter Presidential Library on John Lewis Freedom Parkway, which intersects with Andrew Young International Boulevard to get over to Ralph David Abernathy Drive. And that is just to run your errands on Saturday afternoon. We will drive past the King Center and walk past numerous historic King family sites on our way to festively march tomorrow in the Martin Luther King Day Parade. This holiday celebrates Martin Luther King and the people who prayed with him and strategized with him and the thousands of people who marched with him. Their mission and the mission of the civil rights movement was to end racism. Now, in 2025, we stand in Atlanta, and Martin Luther King is dead. Coretta Scott King is dead, Ella Baker is dead, and John Lewis is dead, but racism persists. Discrimination, economic inequality, voter suppression all persist. For instance, Black Atlantans historically have lower life expectancy rates than all other Atlantans. Black Atlantans live with income inequality, higher rates of poverty, and disparities in home ownership. And Black Georgians are disproportionately incarcerated over all other Georgians. So I could go on and on and on with statistics. But the hymn that's been the soundtrack in my mind captures the idea more eloquently. It says, "In haunts of wretchedness and need, on shadowed thresholds fraught with tears, from paths where hide the lures of greed, we catch the vision of God's tears." So this multi-pronged, hydra-headed serpent of racism is alive and thriving, even while our Atlanta calls itself the city too busy to hate. Beloved of God, understand this. Hate is not the opposite of love. Indifference is. Indifference is the opposite of love. And on this 38th National Martin Luther King Holiday, and the 96th anniversary of his birth last Wednesday, Atlanta is not a city to be too busy to be indifferent to racism. Despite the civic pride, the street names, and the steady flow of tourists, in this sober and sobering moment in which we stand, we see that racism is alive in Atlanta. The city too busy to hate, this idea demands our prophetic attention. Imagine with me that all the party people standing around, perplexed, wondering what to do, what to think, where to go, imagine them urgently whispering Dr. King's great question and the title of his final and still quite relevant book, "Where Do We Go From Here? Chaos or Community?" This morning, the liberating and prophetic life ministry of Jesus demands that we speak and act out loud. The wine has run out and the party is paused unless something happens. And in the gospel, that is the moment when Jesus got to work. Jesus spoke, not silently to himself. He did not whisper to his mother. He did not go out behind the kitchen, sequestered away from the people, but he spoke and he made a miracle happen to show a sign to his community. Jesus performed his first public miracle in community for the community because he cared about the community that was suffering. His glorious first public sign interrupted the community's indifference to shameful systems. Like the prophet Isaiah that was read so beautifully by Izzy, we cannot keep silent. We cannot hide quietly in indifference to structures that feed Black suffering and pain and homelessness and inequality here in Atlanta. So St. Luke's, it's time for us to follow Jesus and get to work, to become a sign in this city and turn the old water of indifference into the new wine of beloved community. We who love Jesus and are called to follow him must act out loud, perform signs in the public square to turn indifference into love and transform the city too busy to hate into the beloved community that Martin Luther King envisioned and that Jesus embodied. Let us pray. Till all the world shall learn your love and follow where your feet have trod, till glorious from your heaven above shall come Atlanta, the city of our God. Amen.